This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. The White House yesterday drew up emergency plans to accelerate the transfer of power in Iraq after being shown a devastating CIA report warning that the guerrilla war was in danger of escalating out of U.S. control. The report, an appraisal of situation commissioned by the CIA director and written by the CIA station chief in Baghdad, said the insurgency was gaining ground among the population and already numbers in the tens of thousands. One military intelligence assessment now estimates the insurgent's strength at 50,000. An intelligence source in Washington familiar with the CIA report described it as a bleak assessment that the resistance is broad, strong, and getting stronger. National Guard soldiers fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan are also battling with their own government over long delays and widespread errors in their paychecks. According to congressional auditors, the GAO says in a study to be released Thursday that some activated Army National Guard soldiers saw delays of up to 3 months in their pay, while others were overpaid an average of $48,000 and told later they had to pay it back. A suicide bomber blew up a truck packed with explosives at an Italian paramilitary base Wednesday, killing at least 26 people. The United States struck at the Iraqi insurgency hours later, destroying a warehouse in Baghdad and chasing attackers who were seen firing mortars. The Nasiriyah attack was the deadliest against an American ally since the occupation began and appeared to send a message that international groups were not safe anywhere in Iraq. With casualties mounting in Iraq, jumpy U.S. soldiers are becoming more aggressive in their treatment of journalists covering the conflict. Media people have been detained, news equipment has been confiscated, and some journalists have suffered verbal and physical abuse while trying to report on events. Although the number of incidents involving soldiers and journalists is difficult to gauge, anecdotal evidence suggests it has risen sharply the past 2 months. The president of the Associated Press Managing Editor sent a protest letter to the Pentagon on Wednesday, urging officials to immediately take the steps to end such confrontations. More news after this.
We were just driving to school. Yeah, the music was loud. And we were all talking. I thought I had everything under control. Until I hit that kid in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them. Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
In another positive sign that things are improving in Iraq, Iraqi police officers will be able to enjoy luxurious wedding rides in the metallic pink Rolls Royce of ousted President Saddam Hussein's flamboyant son, Uday, an official said Tuesday. Uday was last seen in the pink limousine in public on October 15, 2002, when he turned out to vote in Baghdad during a referendum for Saddam. Checks can be made payable to the mustachioed man who drives the limo. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when we cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
Like a bad tamale, Halliburton, Inc. keeps repeating on us. This massive military contractor has a long history of weaseling into war deals that reap huge profits for the company's owners and executives. During the Vietnam years, its Brown & Root subsidiary pumped money into Lyndon Johnson's campaign coffers and then drew billions of dollars from us taxpayers in profiteering funds from that war. Then, with Dick Cheney as its CEO in the 1990s, it grew even fatter on military deals, including getting Iraqi contracts to repair Saddam Hussein's war-torn oil industry. Now, Cheney has moved up to vice president, Saddam has been declared the great Satan, our troops are in an ongoing war in Iraq, but there's Halliburton, still weaseling, still profiteering. Cheney's old company, which puts more than $150,000 a year into his bank account, was first in line to get taxpayer funds from the Bush-Cheney regime for rebuilding Iraq. Of all the companies in the world, the Cheney-connected Halliburton got the non-bid contract to import gasoline into Iraq. So far, it has been paid $700 million for this chore, with the money coming not only from U.S. taxpayers, but also from a United Nations fund meant to provide humanitarian aid in Iraq. Lest you think Halliburton is humanitarian, it has been caught gouging everyone involved. The company is charging $1.59 a gallon for the gasoline that it delivers from countries close around Iraq. Well, says Halliburton, it takes a lot to distribute fuel in a war environment. We might swallow that, except that an Iraqi oil agency is able to get gasoline from the same sources, deliver it in the same war environment, and charge only 98 cents a gallon. This is Jim Hightower saying, hey, Halliburton, in war, when the bugle blows, you're supposed to charge, not overcharge.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah. You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. A program produced by Catherine Bay. And Robin Bittman announces for us, the phone number here is 800-825-5937. That's 800-TALK-YES if you'd like to get jiggy with me tonight. Call the number. Or you can email us, Mike D. Malloy at Earthly... What?
It just sounded funny when you said jiggy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm too old to use that kind of language, right? All right.
You're too pale to use that kind of language, too.
Mike D. Malloy at earthlink.net if you'd like to send an email to the program tonight. We'll have some typically Orwellian Bush speak for you a little bit later in the program. Just really astonishing stuff. It always is, isn't it? Plus, General Abizaid, the four-star general who is kicking ass and taking names over there in Iraq. Has some interesting perspectives on the resistance fighters in that country. Also, we'll be talking a bit tonight about Christianity, because, as you know, Alabama's Chief Justice has been benched, or would it be more proper to say debenched? He's no longer Alabama's Supreme Court anything. Also, what has happened over the past 24 hours with this debate in the Senate. It's really funny stuff. And who do you suppose is cheering as American blood flows in the streets of Iraq? So we will we'll have all that for you tonight. Sounds like a fun night, doesn't it? American blood in the streets of Iraq. I don't create the news, folks. I just bring it to the table so we can talk about it. To start things off here, John in San Diego sent this in to me. He says, I was never a math whiz in school. I always followed more of an artistic vein, but I can do simple math. And I'm having a problem with the following. Add this up and see if you get the same answer as everyone else is getting. Here's what I'm trying to calculate. Record imports widen U.S. trade gap, plus U.S. weekly jobless claims rise, plus Walmart profits rise 13.9%, Plus, import prices edge up in October. Plus, the CIA says Iraqi insurgents now 50,000 strong. Plus, National Guard pay delayed or in some cases denied. According to a GAO report, 94% of those in six units had pay problems. Plus, Bush threatening to veto legislation protecting overtime pay for the American worker. Plus, a Republican budget deficit larger than all other deficits combined. Plus, nearly $7 trillion national debt. Times an infinity of similar headlines equals George Bush's approval ratings are taking a turn for the better. The economy is recovering and consumer confidence is just up or way up just in time for an expected Christmas spending spree. Oh, wait, I see my mistake. I forgot to factor in Kobe Bryant's points in last night's Lakers game. Add in my tax break of $1.20 every week and then divide by Jesus. There. It all works out very nicely. Sorry to have bothered you. John, San Diego. Ah. If you've been following Bush's itinerary, you know he's on his way to the U.K., and the folks in England have a mighty surprise for him when he gets there. Peace groups in that country are expecting anywhere from 50 to 100,000 people to protest. Too stupid to be anything other than a bushwhacker out on his ranch when the bushwhacker shows up. Poor Tony Blair. This invitation was issued a couple of years ago before all hell broke loose, thanks to George W. Bush. So now the Queen of England, whose husband has it in a jam, so to speak, and the Prime Minister, Tony Blair, everybody is in... I'm sorry, it's not the Queen's husband, it's her son. You just can't keep the royal straight, can you? Anyway, that's where George is going, and the good citizens of London and the rest of England have, and Scotland too, a bit of Wales, they have a welcoming committee ready for him. Now, authorities in the UK are dealing here with kind of a touchy situation. They live in a democracy that, while it doesn't have a specific Bill of Rights that indicates freedom of speech, they do subscribe to that idea that's becoming more and more quaint in this country. And what the authorities are having to deal with is the fact that the Bush crime family wants that right of free speech and assembly suspended while he, Bush, is in London. That's not too much of an out-of-line request, is it, Kathy? The headline says the U.S. wants a ban on protest during Bush visit. Now, you know, the moron can get away with that in this country. But to go to another country, a foreign sovereign country, and say, look, by the way, I want you to suspend whatever your constitution is, like we do in my country, because I am passing through. The Stop the War Coalition in London said yesterday it had been told by the police that it would not be allowed to demonstrate in Parliament Square and Whitehall. On Thursday, Thursday next, Whitehall being, I guess, like the mall in front of the White House in Washington, D.C. And, of course, the Stop the War Coalition said it is determined to resist that ban. It will, by God, demonstrate in its own country if it feels like it. The coalition says it has also been told by British officials that American officials want a distance kept between Mr. Bush and protesters, sort of a rolling exclusion zone, if you will, around this moron. Now, why? Well, this is for security reasons and to prevent the appearance of the protesters in the same television shot as Mr. Bush. Think about that for a second, if you will. Good, that's enough. Now, the mayor of London, Ken Livingstone, said yesterday that Mr. Bush should not be shielded from public anger about the Iraq war, and Londoners should not have to pick up the £4 million, I guess that translates to about, what, $10 million, since our dollar is not worth much anymore, the policing bill. The mayor of London said, quote, to create a situation in which perhaps 60 to 100,000 people remain unseen would require a shutdown of central London, which is just not acceptable. Now, it's also reported that Mr. Bush's entourage will number around 500, with up to 200 members constituting his security protection. The Americans are also said to be bringing a U.S. Marine Corps Sea King helicopter, a Black Hawk helicopter, fully armed, and 15 attack dogs. Jesus Christ. And this is in a friendly country, Kathy. Organizers of the demonstration say they expect between 50 and 70,000 people for the biggest protest ever against a visiting head of state. A spokesman for the anti-war coalition said, quote, "We have refused to sign off on the agreement over Parliament Square in Whitehall, and we shall certainly also refuse to do so on this whole idea of a rolling exclusion zone. If there is no agreement by next week, we have a potentially highly risky situation with so many protesters in the center of London." Unbelievable, isn't it? This is London, England. Most of the people there are white, like most of the people here are white. We speak a reasonably similar language in the United States as to what they speak in England. A lot of Americans can trace their heritage back to England, and yet the moron is going to be under furious political assault when he gets there, which is not surprising. Now, what did the moron have to say today about these massive demonstrations that he'll face in England? The question put to him, are you concerned, Mr. President, that the massive amount of protesters that are going to be in London next week will undercut your message of unity in Iraq? Listen to his answer.
I am so pleased to be going to a country which says that people are allowed to express their mind. That's fantastic. You know, freedom is a beautiful thing. And the fact that people are willing to come out and express themselves says I'm going to a great country. And secondly, I don't expect everybody in the world to agree with the positions I've taken. But certainly those should agree with the goals of the United States, which is peace and freedom.
Now, bad grammar aside, how can he say this with a straight face? Any of it. We preemptorily attack Iraq for peace. We bomb the hell out of civilian targets. Our people are being slaughtered and killed. In this country, if anybody comes within 2 miles of the moron in terms of protest, they are herded into protest zones. And he says, freedom is a beautiful thing. I'm pleased to be going to a country that says people are allowed to express their mind. Express their mind. I guess there's nothing to add to that story, so let's move on. Let's move on to Montgomery, Alabama. Alabama's judicial ethics panel today, perhaps you saw it on television when the verdict was handed down to remove a religious fanatic and now former Supreme Court Chief Justice Roy Moore from office for defying a federal judge's order to move that damnable stone with the Ten Commandments on it from the state Supreme Court building. By the way, this it wasn't just one judge's order. There have been 30 federal and state judges who, over the course of this miserable story, have ruled against Roy Moore. 30 federal and state judges, all of whom he thought he could avoid. Well, the string ran out on Roy Moore today. The 9-member Court of the Judiciary in Alabama issued its unanimous decision after this one-day trial. The trial was yesterday. The panel, which includes judges, lawyers, and citizens, not lawyers, not judges, just people. They could have reprimanded this moron. They could have continued his suspension. They could have cleared him. And another alternative was to toss his ass out on the street and let him now go make a lot of money with the mouth-breathing Christian fundamentalists who will fawn all over him and say, "You did the right thing, Governor. I mean, Judge." Moore said he was not surprised by the decision, which he called a step toward, his words, prohibiting the public worship of God. End quote. We'll have more on this story in a moment.
Much to offer him. I'm very small, you see. But I can love my Jesus, and he can still love me. And kinda all I want to do is satisfy my Lord and be the bestest Christian boy in all the whole wide world. I'll be a cowboy, a Christian cowboy. I'll live for Jesus. Oh,
is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Quail.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bats.
Show. Bruce Willis was in Iraq. Did you hear about this? He went to Telefar, I believe is the way you pronounce it. He has a band, Accelerator, played some rock and roll, and, you know, there were hundreds of U.S. soldiers there. Anyway, after he did his rock and roll, he took the microphone, he said, we're here to support you, and that's fine, okay. But then he offered the soldiers listening $1 million out of his own pocket for the capture of Saddam Hussein. And then he said, and if you catch him, just give me 4 seconds with him. Isn't he just a man's man? Huh?
Who are you then? Just another American who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo.
He's always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
I would never use God to promote foreign policy decisions.
Alabama's Chief Justice, former Chief Justice, removed from office today because of his asininity where it concerned the Ten Commandments. But don't cry for Judge Roy Moore, Argentina, because he will now use this ridiculous story to build for himself either a circuit speaking career or a political career. Remember, this is Alabama. It's kind of like here in Georgia. We have people like this here in Georgia, too.
The U.S. Supreme Court has refused to hear his case. Moore said today, I have absolutely no regrets. I've done what I was sworn to do. I've said repeatedly that unless we can acknowledge God, we cannot uphold the oath of our office, which is just more bat squeeze. There's so much bat squeeze around the sky, it's a wonder he can move. What is interesting to me is that Alabama's Attorney General, William Pryor, who is also a religious fundamentalist freak of the highest order, he's the one who had to file the ethics charges against Moore after Moore refused a district judge's order to remove the monuments. Now, Moore was pissed off. He had demanded a televised trial. He wanted this on television. And he wanted it in a larger room than the Supreme Court courtroom. And he said that yesterday's proceedings amounted to a closed hearing. After today's decision, he criticized the court for not opening the hearing and suggested that Attorney General Pryor had changed his position, Pryor's position on the issue, for political gain. Moore read comments that Pryor made in 1997 defending Moore for displaying the Ten Commandments in his courtroom when Moore was Northeast Alabama Circuit Judge. And Moore pointed out that Pryor has been nominated to a seat on the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, which the Democrats will deny him. But I love it. I love it when these religious right-wing freaks begin to chew on each other's legs. Isn't it nice to see? Now, of course, this case has become and will grow exponentially as a case for as a magnet for religious conservatives around the country. He and his supporters, of course, all of these freaks say that the Ten Commandments are the foundation of the U.S. legal system, which is a lie. It's an absolute corrupting, filthy lie. The Ten Commandments, very quickly, the first one, have no other gods before me. Now, see, these are some rules for the Hebrews, okay? Somebody came up with the idea, well, we got this tribe called the Hebrews, and they're practicing, they're toying with the idea of monotheism. So let's get some rules down here real quick. First, don't have any other gods before me. Now, what's that got to do with our religious, or our legal system? Well, nothing. The second commandment essentially says, make no images of anything in heaven, earth, or the sea, and do not worship or labor for them. If you can figure that out, good for you. But that has nothing to do with our legal system. Number three, do not vainly use the name of your God. Don't use God's name in vain. What does that mean? I don't know. But that has nothing to do with our legal system. Number four, don't work on the seventh day of the week. What? Somebody better tell Walmart and Kmart about this, right? What does that have to do with our legal system? Well, actually, nothing. Number five, honor your parents. Can't think how that has anything to do with our legal system either. Number six, do not kill. Oh, there we are! Unless you are the state. If you are one of 36 states, you may kill.
Mike, it says in the Bible, in the original Aramaic, do not murder.
Oh, bite me. Get out of here. Number seven, do not commit adultery. Well, I guess in some states that probably I don't know that that's the foundation of our legal system. I don't think it is. Number eight, do not steal. Okay, that's two. Number nine, do not give false testimony against another. Oh, that means don't lie. Oh, Jesus. Okay, that's not against the law either, unless you're under oath. So there's another one off the list. And don't desire another man's wife. That is part of our legal system. Excuse me, quick break here while I gag, and then we'll come back to this.
In high places. They've stolen our country and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
International action to phase out an ozone-eating chemical is showing signs of success. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. A chemical that has caused problems in the Earth's protective ozone layer started to fade away during the past 5 years. The chemical is bromine, and the first report on its decline was published last August in a scientific journal. The decline of ozone-eating compounds is always good news. Ozone in the stratosphere protects us against harmful ultraviolet radiation from the sun. The ozone layer was depleted by some chemicals that were once commonly used, but an international treaty is phasing out the production and use of those compounds. The most common ones were CFCs, and they were widely used in air conditioners. The problem with them had to do with the chlorine that's part of their chemical structure. The compounds that include bromine were never used as widely as CFCs, but when it comes to destroying ozone, bromine is 50 times more destructive than chlorine. That means any decline in bromine is significant. Steve Monska is a research chemist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and he helped write the bromine report. Monska says the phase-out of bromine compounds started in the late 1990s, a few years after similar restrictions were imposed on CFCs. He says both actions have worked.
Just to be able to say, based on our measurements, that bromine's no longer going up, and to be able to say that the behavior of people has changed enough to allow this to happen, we now see bromine going down, is important. These results mean that there's less bromine and chlorine now entering the stratosphere, and it's been that way for a number of years.
The biggest drop in bromine is due to restrictions on a gas called methyl bromide. It's used to fumigate some food products and farmland. Most of those uses will be phased out in 3 years. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Justice and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
27 before the hour, this whole Ten Commandment thing, and it just riles my blood. And it's there's some spillover here in Georgia. Local politicians and ministers now are going around to local county courthouses here in Georgia offering up tacky little reproductions of the Ten Commandments. And as Reverend Debu mentions to me in an email, which Ten Commandments? The Protestant, the Catholic, the Jewish, the first set. Remember, Moses smashed them when he came down from the mountain and saw that the Israelites were worshiping the golden calf, and then there was a second set. But anyway, so we've got the Ten Commandments here that these religious freaks say our legal system is based upon. Have no other gods before me. Make no images of anything in heaven, earth, or the sea. I guess that means no maps. Do not vainly use the name of your God. Do not work on the seventh day of the week. Honor your parents. That's five. Six, do not kill. Seven, do not commit adultery. Eight, do not steal. Nine, do not give false testimony against another. And ten, don't try to boink your neighbor's wife. Now, I think all of us can see at once that American society, capitalism itself, is entirely opposed to the first four, and indeed the last of the ten. Don't try to boink your neighbor's wife. As a capitalist society, we would scoff be the right word. We scoff at the idea of closing our shops on a choice market day, which would be, excuse me, Sunday or Saturday. There is some argument, is there, about which is the seventh day. And our very goal in life in a capitalist society is to covet, is to desire. Desiring is what drives us towards success and prosperity in capitalism, isn't it? Have you ever heard the phrase, seeking the American dream? What do you think they're talking about? How about the prayer of Jabez, that nasty, tacky, corrupting little book put together by some freak preacher here in Georgia? Well, you're entitled to just fill up all your pockets with gold. Oh, my God. So coveting the success of our peers is something we're taught from day one, as soon as we can breathe.
His is bigger than yours, Bruce. You get a bigger one.
And finally, our ideals of religious liberty and free speech, essential to any truly civil society, compel us to be in direct opposition to the first three commandments. Have no other gods before me, to make no images of anything. Do not use the name of God, the God of the Hebrews, in vain. What? What? So, 80% of Moses' doctrines cannot be the foundation of our modern society. Cannot be. This is why I despise, I pity and despise, and they make my skin crawl, evangelical Christians, or people who insist on the inerrancy of a text that had to do with the history of the Jews, and then the ramblings of madmen who decided to take an avatar of monotheism, a guy named Jesus Christ, and turn him into a god. All of it is insane. But that's what they do. Now, you can actually sum up what would be, let's assume there's a god, what would be God's commandments in three words. Do no harm. Eh? How about that? Do no harm. Now, of course, that is the first commandment of a Greek moralist whose contribution to society lies at the very heart of modern reality. Hippocrates, do no harm. And finally, we're left with that one commandment to honor our parents. What? Honor our parents? Now, that's been a foundational principle of every society ever since such things as societies existed. Honor your parents. Yet the greatest advances in civil rights and civic moral consequences in human history occurred precisely as a result not of obeying, but of disobeying that commandment. Need I go on? Well, yes, I do. I'm not finished yet. Bear with me. I was watching MSNBC tonight, and they had a Gallup poll. 70%, I believe I've got these numbers right, 70% of Americans say that the Ten Commandments should be displayed on public property, taxpayer-funded property. Insane. 78% say there should be prayer in school. Now, they're referring to Christian fundamentalist prayer, of course. And 90% say it's okay to have this garbage gibberish on our money. In God we trust. Now, to the Christian fundamentalists who say, well, you know, this is a Christian nation. I don't want to get jiggy with you tonight, but how many of you, let me see some hands here, how many of you are familiar with the treaty in 1797, the treaty with Tripoli? Our merchant vessels were being attacked by Barbary Coast pirates. And so in the Marine hymn, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, we got involved in a lot of killing and trying to stop these pirates. And then we finally signed an agreement. It's called the Treaty of Tripoli. Can I see some hands? Oh, good. Ah, all kinds of hands. Okay. All right. It was the Treaty of Peace and Friendship. It was signed in Tripoli, November 4th, 1796, then signed again in Algiers about 4 months later. Then submitted in English to the United States Senate, May the 29th, 1797, and ratified by the United States Senate, June 10th, 1797. Article 11.
As the government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion, as it has in itself no character of enmity against the laws, religion, or tranquility of Muslims, and as the said states have never entered into any war or active hostility against any Mohammedan nation, it is declared by the parties that no pretext arising from religious opinions shall ever produce an interruption of the harmony existing between the two countries. But it's the first line, as the government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion. Now, that was ratified. That was during, who was president then, Kathy? Adams. It was signed, it was ratified by the Senate, signed by John Adams, and became foundational where it concerns U.S. law. But if you try to explain that to a fundamentalist, mouth-breathing, snotty-ass, my God's bigger than your God Christian in this country in this time, what do you get? Here's what you get.
Well, the original was written in Arabic, and that's not what it said.
Which is a damned lie. The original might have been written in Arabic, but it was literally translated into English so that United States Senators and President John Adams could understand it. And they ratified it and signed it. This is not a Christian nation. This is a secular nation. Israel is a Jewish state. Iran is an Islamic state. This is not a Christian state. Please, will you people, you Christian fundamentalists, will you stop? You're making all of us sick, the rest of us. Try to educate yourself. No, never mind. I'm sure there's something in the Bible that says thou shalt not educate yourself on this stuff, because then you'll find out how deeply into the trick bag you have been placed.
Well, there he goes again, Ruth. He's railing on the Christians again. You know, I think Mike hates Jesus. I do. I think he hates Jesus and he hates God. You know, he's going to burn in hell. What's that he's always saying? Devil's going to pinch his head off and toss it into hell. Oh, my God.
And after this was announced today on CNN covered it, and then they had the gathering out on the steps of the Alabama Supreme Court building where it was mostly white people. There were a few black folks standing there. I did notice that, you know, isn't this always the case? Are there no big, hulking white people anymore? Judge Moore had three guards around him, big, hulking black men. Does the white race not have any big, hulking white men? Are they all over in Iraq killing Iraqis? What the hell is going on?
Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
Of course, he's probably lost some weight.
Yeah, I'll bet he has. You mean gain some weight now that he's off his drugs, at least temporarily.
I was thinking of the jitters. You know, the DTs.
I gotcha. Okay. But there's Roy Moore out there with two or three huge black men standing there. You approach this man, I will break you into a million pieces. And a bunch of white people standing around going,
yes, yes, that's right. That's right, Judge. Yes, Judge, that's right. That's right, Judge. Yes, Judge, that's right. They're trying to kill Jesus again. Yes, Judge, that's right. That's right. Yes, Judge.
Oh, my God. It was like a cartoon. Except for one thing. It wasn't. This is America, 2003. This is a country that has a command and control general saying that there are demons in the sky over Somalia and the devil is walking in Iraq and God appointed Bush to be president of the United States. That's where we are. That's where we are. And those people, Truth Seeker, are in the majority. I think it's time to move to London. Oh, my God, these people make me sick. Ah!
Joanne is calling from Camden, Maine. Hey, Joanne.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. I love what you're talking about. I'm an atheist, and I share your real anger at, you know, at the evangelical.
They
Christians
just
Christians are trying to do this country.
They just make me sick. That's how they just make me sick.
It makes me sick because, you know, they say they're for the right, but if they really listened to their Christian teachings in the Bible, you know, what did Christ say?
Well, no, they don't do that. They don't do that. But, most fundamental Christians are just brain dead morons, and which they have a right to be. See, we live in a country, and I'm very glad that we do live in a country where people can be as stupid as they want to be, as long as that stupidity doesn't infect other people, it doesn't result in other people's death, doesn't result in other people's being impoverished or otherwise lessened. That's what we have in this country. We have the right to be as dumbassy as we want to be. So I defend and support the right of these evangelical Christians to believe any damn thing they want to believe. Go for it. Handle the snakes. Drink the blood. Eat the body. Do whatever you need to do in order to get your ticket through eternity and into your particular heaven. But stay out of my face and stay out of my government.
Well, I agree with you 100% on that.
Yeah.
Except that they are having an effect on our political system, and they're like Bush. They're using all kinds of false voting things. They did it in 2000. Right. They're trying to do it now with these.
Yeah, I know what I know what you're saying. The voting machines. I do understand what you're saying, Joanne. And the what we have to do is just keep fighting. I mean, that's the only thing I can say. Just keep fighting, Joanne. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate your call. 800-TALK Yes is a number. Chris is calling from Buffalo, New York. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Mr. Malloy, how are you doing this evening?
Please call me Mike.
Okay, Mike.
Thank you. This your first time calling, Chris?
Yes, it is.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you. I typically listen to your show while I'm at work during the day. It's the first time I've been able to listen to it live.
Ah, well, it's quite an experience, isn't it?
It's great. It's a great show. I found it on radiopower.org.
Well, thank you. By the way, if the spirit ever moves you, shoot Shelley Lepre, the woman who runs that site, shoot her $10 or something. She's always just desperate trying to keep it on the air. And if everybody who picked up the program through Radio Power would, I think usually the first of every month when her bills come due to keep the site up, she goes berserk. So if you remember, go to radiopower.org. There's a place there to click in and you know, not a lot of money. You know, if you got a lot of money, go ahead. But you know, it can be changed too. So whatever.
Working poor need to stick together.
There you go. Isn't that the truth?
It's absolutely the truth.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to really commend you on your show. It's really a great show. I enjoy listening to it every day.
Well, thank you.
And it's you know, it's important that people hear this stuff because as ridiculous as it sounds, often it's true. And.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sad what's happening to my country.
It is. I feel that sadness too, and anger and rage and you know, I've said on this program before, about 8 months ago, for the first time in my life, I've had to start taking blood pressure medication because I'm so pissed off. But there's a way to fight against it, and that is to keep talking and keep trying to lacerate the opposition with humor and with anger, and eventually we win.
Well, without humor, we pretty much just have strokes.
That's true.
That's really all we have. And, you know, we have Uncle Dick coming to Buffalo on Monday.
Yeah, somebody mentioned that last night. He's coming there for a fundraiser, I found out. And
I actually heard that caller say how there's that there's no Republicans in the city, which is kind of amusing.
There are Republicans.
Well, I mean, that bastard won't show up unless he's getting some cash. So.
right.
And so on Tuesday, from what I understood, he had already raised $120,000, and their goal was $400,000.
Well, bless his heart. Hey, let me put you on hold a second, since this is your first time calling. I'll come back to you in just a moment right after this break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
We're so worried about saving our souls, afraid that God will take us so that we forget to begin. on this cold.
Oh, here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, who talks to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big briar.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals. And you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Is your soul spotless? Is it clean as the snow?
Doing talk radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, we have been talking about the Judge Roy Moore thing. He was defrocked, if that's the proper term today, no longer the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. And we're going to come back to that topic because I have just a little bit more for you. The Ten Punishments. You've heard of the Ten Commandments. We have the Ten Punishments coming back after the break. But right now we're talking with Chris, who called in from Buffalo. Now, where were we, Chris?
No, we were just talking about Mr. Cheney's visit.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So he's coming tomorrow?
Monday.
Actually. Monday. Oh, good. Well, do you think there'll be any protests?
Well, you know, if we're not cordoned off from it, I don't think they're going to do that. But I'm not sure exactly what time he's coming. But, you know, in this city, which is, you know, a fairly Democratic city,
mm-hmm.
I'd say there should be some protests. There was when Ashcroft came to town.
Well, I hope it does occur. The protesters in England who are waiting for Too Stupid to Be President to show up have been warned, and they are warning back that and they have the Lord Mayor of London and I believe the chief of police of that city who have said, look, you know, this is England, this is London. People do have the right to demonstrate. If George Bush doesn't like it, he can go somewhere else.
Well, yeah, he'll show up when, you know, they manage to evacuate every citizen from the country.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, listen, thanks for checking in, Chris. I appreciate your call. I hope you
Thank
call
you.
Again.
Thank you. Keep up the good work.
All right, sir. Thank you. We got, where did it go? Where did it go? We got an email from our... Regarding Bush's visit to London, our bureau chief from Cambridge sent me an email, and I've lost the damn thing. Oh, well, I'll try to come up with it during the break. Oh, God, can't keep hold of anything, right? Oh, well. We do have, I want to do the 10 punishments when we come back, so stick around. Oh, here it is. Here's what, first of all, Irene emailed in. I read yesterday, I think, The Guardian, that American security was given permission to shoot at anyone they think is a threat, any British citizen. And our bureau chief in Cambridge in the UK says... Bush will not be hidden from the mass protests expected during his state visit next week, according to a senior police official. Mr. Bush's Secret Service team will not be immune from prosecution if their use of firearms causes injury or death. Well, that's good to know.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says no?
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You
why
hate me?
Why don't you put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. The White House yesterday drew up emergency plans to accelerate the transfer of power in Iraq after being shown a devastating CIA report warning that the guerrilla war was in danger of escalating out of U.S. control. The report, an appraisal of situation commissioned by the CIA director and written by the CIA station chief in Baghdad, said the insurgency was gaining ground among the population and already numbers in the tens of thousands. One military intelligence assessment now estimates the insurgent's strength at 50,000. An intelligence source in Washington familiar with the CIA report described it as a bleak assessment that the resistance is broad, strong, and getting stronger. A suicide bomber blew up a truck packed with explosives at an Italian paramilitary base Wednesday, killing at least 26 people. The United States struck at the Iraqi insurgency hours later, destroying a warehouse in Baghdad and chasing attackers who were seen firing mortars. The Nasiriyah attack was the deadliest against an American ally since the occupation began and appeared to send a message that international groups were not safe anywhere in Iraq. Came on the same day the chief U.S. administrator for Iraq went to the White House to put forth proposals on transferring more authority to the Iraqis. With casualties mounting in Iraq, jumpy U.S. soldiers are becoming more aggressive in their treatment of journalists covering the conflict. Media people have been detained, news equipment has been confiscated, and some journalists have suffered verbal and physical abuse while trying to report on events. Although the number of incidents involving soldiers and journalists is difficult to gauge, anecdotal evidence suggests it has risen sharply the past 2 months. The president of the Associated Press Managing Editors sent a protest letter to the Pentagon on Wednesday, urging officials to immediately take the steps to end such confrontations. The effect has been to deprive the American public of crucial images from Iraq in newspapers, broadcast stations, and online news operations, wrote Stuart Wilk, managing editor of the Dallas Morning News. More news after this.
We were just driving to school. Yeah, the music was loud. And we were all talking. I thought I had everything under control. Until I hit that kid in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them. Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
A South Carolina man had an uninvited guest this week, a 3-foot alligator. Michael Hunt found the alligator in his garage Monday afternoon. He quickly hit the button to close the garage door after the gator growled at him, rushed into his house, and called 911. Orangeburg County Animal Control officers removed the reptile. It was relocated in one of the county swamps. It's not clear how or why the juvenile reptile made its way into the garage. Hunt said he was most concerned about the safety of the children who could have stumbled across the alligator. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes. So, you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Like a bad tamale, Halliburton, Inc. keeps repeating on us. This massive military contractor has a long history of weaseling into war deals that reap huge profits for the company's owners and executives. During the Vietnam years, its Brown & Root subsidiary pumped money into Lyndon Johnson's campaign coffers and then drew billions of dollars from us taxpayers in profiteering funds from that war. Then, with Dick Cheney as its CEO in the 1990s, it grew even fatter on military deals, including getting Iraqi contracts to repair Saddam Hussein's war-torn oil industry. Now, Cheney has moved up to vice president, Saddam has been declared the great Satan, our troops are in an ongoing war in Iraq, but there's Halliburton, still weaseling, still profiteering. Cheney's old company, which puts more than $150,000 a year into his bank account, was first in line to get taxpayer funds from the Bush-Cheney regime for rebuilding Iraq. Of all the companies in the world, the Cheney-connected Halliburton got the non-bid contract to import gasoline into Iraq. So far, it has been paid $700 million for this chore, with the money coming not only from U.S. taxpayers, but also from a United Nations fund meant to provide humanitarian aid in Iraq. Lest you think Halliburton is humanitarian, it has been caught gouging everyone involved. The company is charging $1.59 a gallon for the gasoline that it delivers from countries close around Iraq. Well, says Halliburton, it takes a lot to distribute fuel in a war environment. We might swallow that, except that an Iraqi oil agency is able to get gasoline from the same sources, deliver it in the same war environment, and charge only 98 cents a gallon. This is Jim Hightower saying, hey, Halliburton, in war, when the bugle blows, you're supposed to charge, not overcharge.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well, stop.
A few
stop.
More years
no,
on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. Just a little more on this Judge Moore thing. Former Judge Moore, who was had his ass handed to him today by a panel of 9 people who said that, no, you can't be a state Supreme Court Chief Justice and violate the law, Roy, not even you, not even the name of Jesus. And this Ten Commandments farcical joke, the poor brain-dead evangelicals who say that our legal system was based on the Ten Commandments, which, if you read the Ten Commandments, is just such bat squeeze. Every bit of it is untrue. I think there are 2 commandments that you could say have to do with our legal system, but it has to do with the legal systems in every single country on the planet, every society. I don't think in any society, regardless of its religious basis or whether or not it has any, or if it's even ever heard of the Ten Commandments, has a prohibition against killing, for Christ's sakes, against stealing, too, right? Oh, never mind. But let's post these in the schoolroom, these being the 10 punishments. And they're all from the Bible, from Exodus 22:20. These are in pretty much in juxtaposition of the Ten Commandments. So the first one, Exodus 22:20, he that sacrificeth unto any god save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. Well, that begs the question. I thought there was only one, but here apparently is the Hebrew God saying, well, those other gods are pansies. They are useless. If you sacrifice to them, I'll just destroy your ass. I'll destroy your ass, your family, you. Ass in the biblical term, a donkey. Second commandment, from Leviticus 24:16, and he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. Okay. The third one, Exodus 31:15, whoever doeth any work in the Sabbath, he shall surely be put to death. Oh, my God, think of all the Christian fundamentalists who work at Walmart. Well, they're all going to be put to death. Number four, Exodus 21:15, he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. Okay. Number five, Exodus 21:17, he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. A lot of death in this, right? Number six, Exodus 22:19, whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. Well, that means Paul Harvey is doomed. Number seven, Leviticus 20:13. Here it is. If a man lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Well, to all of our gay listeners, sorry, but there it is. Number eight, Leviticus 20:10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall be put to death. Well, there goes half the Republican Party. Boom! Number nine, Mark. Oh, my God, here's one from the New Testament. Mark 16, verse 16. He that believeth not shall be damned. Well, Kathy, I guess that's it, pal. if you don't believe, who cares? That's true. And number 10, this is from Malachi 2, 1 through 4. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces. Oh, my God. And this country, this America, this United States of America is populated. Yeah, I'll post this at my website. Don't worry. We'll put it up there. It's populated by apparently a majority of people who believe this. So if a priest doesn't tell it the way it is, his seed will be corrupted. I'm not sure what that means. What does that mean? That your offspring will all be born dead? I don't know what it means. And he will spread dung on your face? Oh, and don't forget, if you take a kid, a baby goat, and cook it in its mother's milk, you'll be put to death for that too. So, there you go. But Judge Roy Moore insisted that the foundation of this entire country and our legal system and everything else is based on these ridiculous. And I say ridiculous because they are. They had to do with a tribal people, a bunch of Bedouins. The Hebrews were wandering around the Sinai, just freaked out of their mind. They had just escaped from slavery. And then you have this guy, Moses. Oh, my God. Hold on a second. I'm going to go up on the mountain here. Oh, guess what? God. Oh, never mind. It's a long story. But here's what you can and can't do. Oh, well. Adam is calling from Athens, Georgia. Adam, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Mike.
Sure.
Well, Leviticus also says that if you eat shellfish, it's an abomination.
I know, and something that's abomination means you're going to die for it. So, all you people who eat lobster, you're just eternal damnation, that's all.
Okay, so anyway, there was an evangelist on campus, student center, as they common are. A lot of people around him because he was, condemning homosexuality. You could see all the grimaces on everybody's face.
Right.
So, anyway, he's talking about the Ten Commandments. And I said, oh, lying, And he's like, and then he, pulls out, saying that, not bearing false witness.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, then, okay, our president, therefore, has committed sin. He looks at me, and he goes, you're one of them Bush haters, aren't you?
Oh, my God.
And he didn't even answer my question.
Right.
And
well,
so he goes, you're going to hell.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I don't like one of his saved.
Yeah.
He said, because George Bush is saved. And he, I was like, what? So
I know. Again, these people disgust me. I don't care. They can believe any damn thing they want to believe. They can pray to a can of pork and beans if they want to. I mean, I don't care. But just stay out of my face. Stay off my college campuses. Stay out of my courtrooms. Stay the hell away from my shopping malls. Keep my bedroom especially. Take your creepy ass into your creepy little house of worship or house of deviltry or whatever you want to call it and do whatever you want. Handle your snakes, play with your bag of doorknobs, drink your lie and your poison, and go meet your Savior. Go meet who you think is your Savior. When you step into the abyss and there's nothing there, of course, like I said, Too bad there won't be any way to have a frame of reference for all that, so that there'll be that one brief moment where these freaks will say, oops. Oh, my God. Oh, well.
Well, that's all I have.
All right. Well, thanks, Adam. I appreciate you checking in, sir. Thanks. Now, I know. See, I know. There are a lot of liberals who believe in God. And who believe in the Christian faith, you know, who believe in the inerrancy of the Bible, you know, up to a point, I guess. I mean, how can something be partly inerrant? And I know I'm pissing some of you off, but I'm not going to apologize for it, okay? This is, I can tell you what I've told people who don't like my political point of view. You don't have to listen to this, you know, you can listen to something else. But this is not funny to me. When again, when I look at the history of this planet and the destruction and death and corruption and genocide that's been done in the name of some rinky-tink, stupid-ass religion, whether it's Christianity or Islam or Judaism or whatever it is, or Hinduism, it just makes me sick. It makes me sick. I despise religion. I despise all of it. If you have a spiritual aspect to your personality, and I'm beginning to question that, okay, focus on that. Develop your spirituality. God knows you don't need permission from me. Do whatever you want to do, but just stay out of my face with this crap. I'm so sick of it. I just look at history. And understand that this planet is waist deep in blood because of religion. Ah. And you have, and it's astonishing to me when I watch this stuff with this Roy Moore, I get the feeling that this is the, you know, I'm waiting for Torquemada to come out, you know, the Spanish Inquisition, where they can start saying, oh, bring the Jew over here. We're going to rip him into a million pieces unless he accepts the Prince of Peace, Jesus. Bring the Muslim. We will cut off his genitals and rape his animals and kill his wife unless he accepts the loving grace of Jesus. I keep waiting to see these people step out of the crowd at, you know, whenever I see some psychopath like this Judge Roy Moore. But you know what's going to happen to a former judge? You know what's going to happen? This nutcase is going to travel around, and God help us, but it's true. He's going to travel around the South here. Yes, he is. Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, South Carolina, Jesus, parts of Arkansas, parts of Tennessee and Kentucky. He is. Even parts of North Carolina, believe it or not. And the crowds will come out, and, you know, they'll pass the hat, and... Well, Judge Moore, you ought to run for president. That's what y'all do. Bring this country back to its godly Christian beginnings. You know, kill the Jews, kill the Muslims, kill the niggers, kill the queers, kill the spicks, kill the wops, kill them all, except us good Christian white people. Right, Judge? I hate these people. Have I said yet tonight how much I hate these people? I haven't. No, we're only an hour and 17 minutes into the program, so I'll say it now. I hate them. Chris is another over-the-road trucker calling from near Lebanon, Tennessee. Chris, welcome to the program. This your first time calling?
Yes, sir, Mike.
You're welcome aboard. You're listening on Sirius, satellite radio, I take it.
That's right.
Well, welcome to the program, sir.
Hey, thanks. I know you get tired of being used as a sounding board.
Not at all.
I'm from the 3rd Congressional District in Arkansas.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Over 30 years of Republican tyranny, most of the last 30 years we've had two Democratic senators. There was a six-year pause where we just had one Democratic senator, one Republican senator. Now we're back to two Democratic senators.
Mm-hmm.
Yet this very conservative district, the 3rd Congressional District, with its rogue Republican, right-wing agenda, conservative, corporate kiss-butt
mm-hmm.
representative. And if you're not real aware of the geography, in that district contains Walmart corporate headquarters.
Right.
Tyson corporate headquarters.
So this is near Bentonville.
Yeah, it goes down from the northwest part, Bentonville, to well south of Fort Smith, and many other corporations, ABS.
Hey, Chris, let me get you hold on a second. We got to do a break here. I'll come right back to you as soon as we do this break, and we're also going to take everybody else's phone call. I know you folks have been holding on. I'm sorry. I just got off on a tangent. Stick around. Be right back.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves, and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Tune into IE America Radio Network weekdays for the best in progressive talk radio. The Tom Hartman Show.
Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. You're listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show.
Family Talk.
This is Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera.
The All-American Talk Radio Show.
All-American Talk Radio with Peter B. Collins.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I know I have a reputation of being fiery, hard-edged, passionate, outspoken, opinionated, and sometimes explosive. And that reputation is well-deserved because I am. I'm a liberal with a microphone, and that makes me dangerous.
For more information on these shows and other shows, or to listen live, visit us on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves, and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
to the Flying Monkey Right. It's more of Mike Malloy.
I just love that. Keep it going a second. If you don't like country music, there is something wrong with you. Excuse me. Back to Chris, who is driving near Lebanon, Tennessee, over the road trucker. Where were we, Chris? You're talking about all the hell going on in Arkansas.
Right. Yeah, in the 3rd Congressional District.
Right.
And I just want to cut to the point of this. Okay, in the 2002 election, we had a Republican primary.
Mm-hmm.
Seven Republican candidates.
Right.
How many Democrats? Zero. When the Republican primary was wrapped up, that was it. That was the election. That was our congressional representative.
Right. That was it.
And you know, it's about gotten to the point. I'm just you know, a working Joe. You know, work my rear off. You know, 70 hours a week. And I mean, I've got to the point where I'm saying, you know, I don't have any money. I don't have any contacts. I don't have the big name. But if it happens again, if the Republicans are just going to, you know, overwhelmingly sweep through and just totally devoid the Democrats of a November election.
Right.
I mean, I'm thinking about throwing my name in the hat.
Well, good for you, Chris. It you know, so much of that depends on how well you're known in your congressional district, how what you're willing to put up with. I ran for started a campaign for the Georgia General Assembly here in Atlanta about 8 years ago, and really had my ass handed to me. A good friend of mine, Nancy Skinner, is running for the Senate of all things in Illinois. It's rough business, I'm telling you now. But if you got the stomach and the backbone for it, go for it. And if you do decide to do that, I'll support you every way I can.
I appreciate it.
All right, Chris, drive safe, and I hope you call again.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, sir, take care. Yeah, you got to respect that. I mean, that is the answer. I've made, you know, snotty remarks about who in the hell would want to run for office now because the system has become so corrupted. But that's bad thinking. Correct thinking is to fight, and sometimes that means what Chris was just talking about. Sometimes you have to take it on yourself to go do it. Right? Of course. Angie's calling from Portland, Oregon. Hey, Angie.
Hey, I'm a Christian. Guess what?
What?
I am not going to convert you because I totally agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
To me, it's like so totally ludicrous to want to bring a monument of the Ten Commandments into your place of work and expect people to say, okay, it's okay to be there. If I did that at my job, you know, there's no way it's crazy. And
you know,
that makes me angry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't know why Roy Moore or anybody else, if they want to gaze upon a reproduction of the Ten Commandments, fine, go for it. Put it on your front lawn, put it in your kitchen, put it in your bathroom, your bedroom, on the roof of your house, in your basement.
Well, you know, why don't you do like the Bible says? And put it in your heart.
Well, that's a good place to,
That's where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's the best place.
And you know, and what bothers me is, look, I agree with the atheist. They call it. She said, if you follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, you wouldn't be going through all this crap. That's Jesus Christ did not go try to convert Caesar.
Right.
You know, I mean, and it's like, I'm sorry. I love my fellow Christians.
Mm-hmm.
I say that very loosely because, you know, nowadays anybody supposedly is Christian. But... because I don't believe they read the Bible. If they read the Bible, if they read half of what it says, half, the crap we're in, we wouldn't be in it. We wouldn't be following after, quote-unquote, the rich people, because the Bible says, hey, if we believe in it, that it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom. Everything that dealt with probably a rich person in the Bible ended badly.
That's right. It does indeed,
you know,
doesn't it? Hey, Angie, we got a break.
Okay.
Thanks, Angie. I appreciate you checking in. Y'all stick around. Be right back.
Truly trust there is a rainbow for you and me, a beautiful sunrise eternally. God is a girl wherever you are.
See high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
International action to phase out an ozone-eating chemical is showing signs of success. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. A chemical that has caused problems in the Earth's protective ozone layer started to fade away during the past 5 years. The chemical is bromine, and the first report on its decline was published last August in a scientific journal. The decline of ozone-eating compounds is always good news. Ozone in the stratosphere protects us against harmful ultraviolet radiation from the sun. The ozone layer was depleted by some chemicals that were once commonly used, but an international treaty is phasing out the production and use of those compounds. The most common ones were CFCs, and they were widely used in air conditioners. The problem with them had to do with the chlorine that's part of their chemical structure. The compounds that include bromine were never used as widely as CFCs, but when it comes to destroying ozone, bromine is 50 times more destructive than chlorine. That means any decline in bromine is significant. Steve Monska is a research chemist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and he helped write the bromine report. Monska says the phase-out of bromine compounds started in the late 1990s, a few years after similar restrictions were imposed on CFCs. He says both actions have worked.
Just to be able to say, based on our measurements, the bromine's no longer going up, and to be able to say that the behavior of people has changed enough to allow this to happen, we now see bromine going down, is important. These results mean that there's less bromine and chlorine now entering the stratosphere, and it's been that way for a number of years.
The biggest drop in bromine is due to restrictions on a gas called methyl bromide. It's used to fumigate some food products and farmland. Most of those uses will be phased out in 3 years. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Do you believe in truth? Are you tired of right-wing rhetoric? Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. 800-TALK, yes, is the number here. Ilsa is calling from Victoria, Texas. Ilsa, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Mike. It's nice to be on. I was just telling Kathy, I was having a conversation with my father not too long ago, and he was telling me that a couple of years ago, the Southern Baptists, in one of their big annual meetings, I don't know if it was their convention, but they chastised their membership over their high divorce rate, and it was something like, almost 50% higher than the national average.
Wow.
And So, you know, they were getting after them and saying, you know, you need to go through covenant marriage counseling, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Now, that's really scary. Covenant marriage, for people that don't know, is a marriage that after you go through this premarital counseling with, I don't think with a sociologist or a marriage counselor, but with a religious person, a preacher, it means marriage forever. It's kind of like the Mormon thing. You know, you're just married for all eternity. That's the end of it. And,
oh, my.
And if you do get divorced, or even entertain the idea of divorce, well, the yawning fiery gates of hell are going to open up and suck you down right right now. Not even going to wait till you're dead. Just...
Well, you know, the statisticians had some comments about why their divorce rate was so much higher. But, you know, because they're predominantly in the Bible Belt in the South, and people in the South have a history of marrying a little younger. And, of course, statistically, if you marry a little younger, you're a little more prone to end up in divorce.
That's right.
But I've got a different theory.
All right. What's yours?
I have a suspicion that there might be a handful or so of pastors that... Instead of spending more time counseling the couples, they spend too much time looking at pictures of naked women. And
yeah, and it might be pictures of the naked women that they're counseling.
Yeah, yes. There have been some very quiet dismissals, hither and yon. You know, they're very, very quiet about it. Sometimes it's because they found a closet of the magazines in a restricted area of the church, or in another case not too far from here, a minister, I believe, was caught receiving the, I've got to be careful on the radio, the second letter of the alphabet and the tenth letter of the alphabet.
B-J?
Okay. I don't know if you could say that.
Was this before or after the offering was taken up? Oh my God!
I don't think it was a sacrament, you know.
Boy, talk about communion, eh, Ilsa? This is my flesh. No, never mind.
And that you know, they quietly run them off, and usually what happens is they make amends, they get their life together, and they go form another church outside of the large congregational church.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And,
well, we've had some scandals over here in Atlanta that are just absolute world-class scandals. We've got these mega churches over here with 8, 10, 15, 20,000 members. They're like small cities.
Uh-huh.
And we had a case here about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, of a whole bunch of preachers. They were all related. This Harvester Church, is that what it was called, Kathy?
Chapel Hill Harvester.
Chapel Hill Harvester, a huge mega church. And about three or four of these ministers were just boinking anything that they would give counseling, right? You know, these 17-year-old girls would come in and say, "Well, Reverend, I'm starting to feel itchy, and I just well, come here, sweetheart, let me help you." Oh, they laid hands on places they just shouldn't lay hands, and it was just a horrifying situation. But the church is still operating, and those ministers are still preaching because, the Lord stepped between them and their accusers, and everything's okay. But
in one situation, I think the congregation was really nervous because I think there had been quite a parade of young people through a pastor's office, teenagers, and it got. I think they.
Now they're starting to sound like Catholics. It's starting to sound like priests.
Well, I was raised in that denomination, but I gave it up when I realized it didn't fit.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I gave it up when I did, because later on I saw my old church essentially get hijacked.
Yeah.
By a political party, and it's heartbreaking to see it, and it's frustrating to see them bend the rules and try and hand out political literature out in the foyers of churches and things like that just before election time.
Well, keep the faith, Ilsa.
Oh, yeah.
And listen, this is your first time calling in, right?
Well, actually, I've called in once before under a different name, my real name, and so I decided, gee, it's a small town. I don't want anybody figuring
out. That's cool. That's good. That's good, Ilsa. I like the name Ilsa. Listen, thank you. I hope you call again.
Well, thank you, Mike.
All right.
Nice evening.
Okay, you too. As far as I would expand on what Ilsa said, as far as a high divorce rate here in the South, I think she's right about in the South here, we tend to get married much younger. and to our relatives. But the other thing about here in the South, it's hot down here. See, this is not like Chicago or San Francisco or Milwaukee or Cleveland. It gets hot down here. And when it gets hot, people tend not to wear as many clothes or as many restrictive garments, you might say. We tend to shed things as we go along, which tends in also to make things a little bit jiggy. And that's the third time I've used that tonight, right? And so we tend to get each one another pregnant here. So we get married, and then we find out that, well, we just didn't want to be married to Cousin Ralph. So we get a divorce. And the fact that so many people in the South are Southern Baptists, which is the racist branch of the Baptist Church, you know, let's be Southern Baptists so we can keep the niggers out. Right? Yeah, okay. But the reason that this is just my theory, the reason that divorce rates are so high down here in the South is because things are a little thicker down here, if you know what I mean. You get around too many of these hibiscus plants and things of that nature, and it's a warm, sultry summer night, and you just want to get out of your skin and run around your bones, and that tends to make folks want to touch one another. And you know what happens when you start touching one another, don't you? Yes, you do. You do. And as far as marrying next to kin or a close kin, ain't nothing wrong with that. If you can make it work and don't have any kids. We know people here, don't we, Kathy, who were very close kin. Brother and sister got married, had babies, and doctor comes out and said, I got bad news for you. You've given birth to an 8-pound, 6-ounce eye. And it's blind. See, that's a genetic... Oh, never mind. Rob is calling from Midland, Michigan. Hey, Rob.
Hello, Mike. I just wanted to pass along. I actually emailed you earlier.
Yeah.
The Playboy undresses Walmart women.
Oh, yeah, the Playboy bunny thing. I think it's online.
Well, the only place I found it was on AOL News.
AOL News.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, well... Walmart Playboy bunnies. Didn't they do the same thing with Enron, the women of Enron?
Yeah, they said in this report it says both Enron and Starbucks employees, they didn't get as many responses from them. They got about 400 from Walmart employees. Huh. Apparently that's one way they can get a little more money than the $7.50 an hour.
Well, the ones that are lucky make $7.50 an hour.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's funny. Walmart now, of course, won't sell Playboy.
Yeah, that's what this article is saying, too. It says in the past, Walmart has refused to sell CDs that carry warning labels,
right,
about explicit labels. Instead, the store sells sanitized versions of the albums. And I kind of wonder, now, what are they going to do? So they don't sell Playboy at all, you're saying? They don't?
No, not Playboy. Is Penthouse still around? Not Hustler. So many of those magazines are going down the pipes because now when we want to look at naked people, we can go online.
Well, actually, you can look at the stuff online, too. But I went and checked out Playboy.com. Unfortunately, you have to pay
some
big bucks to look at it. So it's like,
I can't get on that website because it costs money. There's enough free ones out there, you know, Rob?
Right. But I just amazes me that this is Playboy's way of going back after them, apparently, for...
Well, what do you think is going to happen to those women who appear semi-nude or nude? I assume it's all women. It would be interesting if they also published some nude men.
Well, by the way, on this AOL article, they showed, obviously clothed, but they showed the six gals in a picture there, and their names, right, first names.
Yeah.
And what I thought was really ironic is, well, not all ironic, but I went to the little search on here before I got online, or with you here.
Yeah.
And they said that this one probably lost my. Oh, it's a little message board somebody started up about this. It said this one thing says my girlfriend went on to the photo shoot for that. Pictures are out today. This is posted as of November 12th. Walmart did fire her. Today was her last day. They said she had to leave due to overstaffing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there'll probably be a lot of that with these horrible corrupt Walmarts. But it's a funny story. It's a hoot. And
well, another thing I want to say is now, of course, you don't know who these people really are, but another person posted later that day on November 12th and said, "I pose for Playboy. I'm a current employee. I haven't been fired yet, but who knows? And I really don't care. I enjoyed every minute of it." And her name is, I'm not going to give her first name, but it's one of the people, that's the six people pictured on the AOL story.
Right, right.
And so she also's got her email address on there.
Write
her and say, "Hey, you got your job still?" You know.
I'll bet.
But I think it is absolutely a hoot that serves them right. I feel the same way. I don't want to speak for you, but I believe you are not a real big fan of them. As I remember.
Oh, I won't shop there. And I advise everybody who gives a damn not to buy anything from Walmart. Walmart is destroying not just jobs and the benefits that normally come with a decent job in this country, but they're destroying they're polluters, they're corruptors. I hate them. That's all. Okay, that's all I can say right now is I hate them. I think they're a terrible. They're the worst part of capitalism. I just wish they'd disappear, but they won't. They'll be around forever.
I agree. Yeah. I hope you're wrong about them being around forever. I hope that they aren't.
No, they will be. They cost people their jobs. They depress wages. They drive people into poverty. Walmart represents everything that's wrong with capitalism.
Right? I agree 100% with more than that. I agree with you 150% because you're absolutely right. They and then this idea of what they did with the foreign employees? I'm not saying that right, but
the overseas workers, the people in China, that's where they get most of their stuff now.
To come and do the cleaning for them?
They were part and parcel of hiring those people. They were paid $2 an hour. I made it clear about a year ago to this network that if they ran Walmart commercials, I was going to resign. Not that Walmart was beating down the door to be on this network, but I made it very clear that I will not work at a company that carries Walmart commercials.
Well, you stand up for your principles. I like that.
Well, it's more than that. I mean, it really is more than that. I do believe that they are the spawn of Satan, the worst part of capitalism. They're disgusting. They're contemptible, and they're also the largest corporation now, I think, in the history of the human race. So
you know what? I worked for them at one point. I would never work for them again. I'll tell you. I'm sure you got to go in a minute here, but I want to say one other thing. I wasn't going to say it, but I will say it, seeing as I admit that I worked there at one point.
Yeah.
I quit. That's how I felt about it. But you may not have heard this. Maybe you have. They, and I bet you they give this spiel to everybody that tries to work there. They make it very clear that they don't need a union there. They went right up to as far as I'm concerned, they went beyond what's permissible. But we don't need a union here. We don't need one here. They make it very clear. It's an intimidation. They intimidate you with that.
Sure.
And I am very much pro-union, especially at a place like that. They need one there. I got a feeling these service jobs eventually at all these stores are going to eventually be that way because people can't live on what is it? $6 an hour? I don't know, $6.50 if you're lucky.
Whatever it is, yeah. Yeah, that's very true. Rob, got a boogie.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Are we going to get to anything else tonight here, Kathy? I just got so hung up on this Roy Moore thing. I wanted to focus a little bit on this reverse filibuster, whatever the hell it is going on in the Senate, 30 hours, these crybaby, whiny-ass Republicans who have gotten 98% of Bush's right-wing neo-Nazi judges confirmed, 148 of them confirmed, and four of them, the Democrats, 168 the Democrats have confirmed 168 of the 172 judicial nominations put out there by the neo-Nazis in this country. And these little whiny-ass Republicans, I'd just like to line them up and just slap them across. I'd take their pants down and spank the hell out of them. All of these Republicans, these little whiny-ass, be careful now. See, there I go. Getting very close to another string of profanities. But there's some things I want to get into about this. We have some sound that I want to get to, too. So I'll tell you what. Let's do this. Sean is calling from Augusta, one of our active duty soldiers. Sean, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Going fine, sir.
Good. You know, I hate to bring it up again since you want to get past it, but this whole Roy Moore thing, these guys, these fundamentals have to realize that the Constitution is not subject to a popularity contest.
That's right.
And that there's no reason to have a Constitution if it's subject to popularity.
That's very true.
Obviously.
That's very true.
And I'd like to turn you on to a book that you might find interesting. It's on the bestseller list. It's actually a novel by a guy named Dan Brown. It's called The Da Vinci Code.
Oh, yeah. Kathy just read it. It's on my nightstand at home. I haven't started it yet. That's the one about Jesus being married.
Stuff.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we're out of time.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Thanks, Sean. I appreciate your call.
Which is why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum Strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Nah, I'm tired of this crappy job.
What? I thought you loved this job. You have a company car. You even have a expense account. What's the problem?
I have to listen to all this junk radio, and I miss all my favorite political talk shows like Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins because I have to beat a stupid job.
Why don't you listen to them on your computer like me?
Because for some stupid reason, I have to pay attention to what's going on at work or something like that. I don't remember. I wasn't listening. All I know is that I'm pretty cranky when I miss my shows.
You think?
I should just go over there and tell him that I'm not coming to work until I listen to my shows, and if he's got a problem with it, then we can go outside, punk.
Hold on there. Just listen to the best in political talk on Sundays.
The what?
The best in political talk on Sundays from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time. You can hear the best of Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins.
Really? Well, that's better than picking a fight with the boss.
Yeah, you'll keep your job and your health.
What? You don't think I can take him?
He's big, dude.
I would waste him.
Yeah, right.
That's the best of Political Talk, Sunday nights from 10 to midnight Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
The Tom Hartman Show.
Back. This is Tom Hartman. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working and middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed. Where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. Five before the hour. I'll tell you what we'll do here. David has been holding on forever. We'll take one more on the religious topic, which will take us right up to the break here, and then we'll come back and move on. David, thanks for holding on.
Thank you, Mike. Let me say, first of all, that I'm going to say something sort of dangerous here, but let me finish it, and then you'll understand.
Okay, sure.
You know, I had a little book from some lady who wrote a book about 100 years ago or something like that about the teachings of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that she talked about, you know, how he challenged the system, like, you know, the economic system, the system
right.
of the priesthood and the temple system and all of that, and all the horrible unfairness of people being thrown outside the city gates mm-hmm. because they didn't have money. And the rest of them were making change with the little lower priests in the outside of the temple and all this other stuff. And then, you know, as I went through that whole thing, and they accused him of being a drunkard and a glutton, yet they made their big plans to make more money at everybody's expense behind closed doors and the whole thing. And then I thought, you know, it's interesting, but, you know, it's really when people take a stand for social justice and human rights that they can really claim, I think, to be Christian, because they're doing what needs to be done to put before other people, including those who may mm-hmm. not have the kind of guts and courage and maybe not enough background and education, whatever, to be able to do it. But they listen to people like you, and I think that they understand, wait a minute, this guy's telling me that I have rights.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's telling me I can take a stand. And I think that that's one of the most important things. And I can think of an experience that I had a few years back when I worked at CYO here in San Francisco, Catholic Youth Organization.
Right.
And I worked at night because I was too busy trying to develop a business which was doing a little better, so I don't work at night anymore.
Mm-hmm.
When I went there, I was a residential supervisor with a near master's degree, but it's all I could do because I had to work nights. But when I got there every night around midnight or 11:30 or whatever it was, I remember seeing when I first got there, went to work there, all these sometimes three and four and five of these young boys, you know, with two staff each, with them up against the wall.
Right.
And they'd walk in and say, what in the world is going on here, people?
Right.
And the supervisor would walk up to me and say, well, this one didn't do this and this one didn't do that. He didn't make his room right and this
right.
one, whatever. And I said, so how did we get to this point?
Uh-huh.
And you understand, at that time I was in my mid-40s. And
yeah.
So
hey, listen, we're running out of time. Let me put you on hold for a second, David. We'll come back after the break, and let's finish this up as quickly as we can, because we got to move on. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Stacy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. The White House yesterday drew up emergency plans to accelerate the transfer of power in Iraq after being shown a devastating CIA report warning that the guerrilla war was in danger of escalating out of U.S. control. The report, an appraisal of situation commissioned by the CIA director and written by the CIA station chief in Baghdad, said the insurgency was gaining ground among the population and already numbers in the tens of thousands. One military intelligence assessment now estimates the insurgent's strength at 50,000. An intelligence source in Washington familiar with the CIA report described it as a bleak assessment that the resistance is broad, strong, and getting stronger. National Guard soldiers fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan are also battling with their own government over long delays and widespread errors in their paychecks. According to congressional auditors, the GAO says in a study to be released Thursday that some activated Army National Guard soldiers saw delays of up to 3 months in their pay, while others were overpaid an average of $48,000 and told later they had to pay it back. A suicide bomber blew up a truck packed with explosives at an Italian paramilitary base Wednesday, killing at least 26 people. The United States struck at the Iraqi insurgency hours later, destroying a warehouse in Baghdad and chasing attackers who were seen firing mortars. The Nasiriya attack was the deadliest against an American ally since the occupation began and appeared to send a message that international groups were not safe anywhere in Iraq. With casualties mounting in Iraq, jumpy U.S. soldiers are becoming more aggressive in their treatment of journalists covering the conflict. Media people have been detained, news equipment has been confiscated, and some journalists have suffered verbal and physical abuse while trying to report on events. Although the number of incidents involving soldiers and journalists is difficult to gauge, anecdotal evidence suggests it has risen sharply the past 2 months. The president of the Associated Press Managing Editors sent a protest letter to the Pentagon on Wednesday, urging officials to immediately take the steps to end such confrontations. More news after this.
We were just driving to school. Yeah, the music was loud. And we were all talking. I thought I had everything under control. Until I hit that kid in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them.
Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
In another positive sign that things are improving in Iraq, Iraqi police officers will be able to enjoy luxurious wedding rides in the metallic pink Rolls Royce of ousted President Saddam Hussein's flamboyant son, Uday, an official said Tuesday. Uday was last seen in the pink limousine in public on October 15, 2002, when he turned out to vote in Baghdad during a referendum for Saddam. Checks can be made payable to the mustachioed man who drives the limo. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, Someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
Like a bad tamale, Halliburton Inc. keeps repeating on us. This massive military contractor has a long history of weaseling into war deals that reap huge profits for the company's owners and executives. During the Vietnam years, its Brown & Root subsidiary pumped money into Lyndon Johnson's campaign coffers and then drew billions of dollars from us taxpayers in profiteering funds from that war. Then, with Dick Cheney as its CEO in the 1990s, it grew even fatter on military deals, including getting Iraqi contracts to repair Saddam Hussein's war-torn oil industry. Now, Cheney has moved up to vice president, Saddam has been declared the great Satan, our troops are in an ongoing war in Iraq, but there's Halliburton, still weaseling, still profiteering. Cheney's old company, which puts more than $150,000 a year into his bank account, was first in line to get taxpayer funds from the Bush-Cheney regime for rebuilding Iraq. Of all the companies in the world, the Cheney-connected Halliburton got the non-bid contract to import gasoline into Iraq. So far, it has been paid $700 million for this chore, with the money coming not only from U.S. taxpayers, but also from a United Nations fund meant to provide humanitarian aid in Iraq. Lest you think Halliburton is humanitarian, it has been caught gouging everyone involved. The company is charging $1.59 a gallon for the gasoline that it delivers from countries close around Iraq. Well, says Halliburton, it takes a lot to distribute fuel in a war environment. We might swallow that, except that an Iraqi oil agency is able to get gasoline from the same sources, deliver it in the same war environment, and charge only 98 cents a gallon. This is Jim Hightower saying, hey, Halliburton, in war, when the bugle blows, you're supposed to charge, not overcharge.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day. On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. We're talking with David in San Francisco. Okay, David, go ahead and wrap it up for me, pal.
Okay. Yeah, what I was talking about in reality is hypocrisy.
Right.
That is, these staff, when I first came there, they were telling these kids to do work that they weren't willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
They said, well, you know, the kids are supposed to do this. It's the contract they signed when they come here.
Right.
And I looked at the situation. I said, well, wait a minute. Has anybody, A, taught them how to do the work, and B, taught them that working is okay, and that, in fact, it really is good for people, and it's good for, and to teach them that the staff should lead the way and not be hypocritical? And then I thought about, well, you know, this war in Iraq, we have Cheney and we have Bush, and they're star, you know, this humongous, wonderful military record that they both have, right?
Yeah, right.
And here again, we're teaching people that it's okay to treat little people and send their sons and daughters over to Iraq to die and to kill people and then be horribly affected for the rest of their lives because they're being sent there to do something that their own honest, true, spiritual or moral or whatever you want to call it, the inside of them teaches is wrong, especially when it's over lies. It's lies about what they're there for,
right.
You know, not weapons, not democratization. In fact, it was really there for, who was it, the guy that said $700 million so far to Brown & Root subsidiary, Halliburton?
Well, my feeling about all that, and I've got to move on, David, my feeling about all that is I don't advocate mutinous activity by members of the armed forces, although I think they're perfectly capable of reaching that point when they decide enough is enough. But anybody who is... my own opinion, anybody who is religious and claims to be a Christian would no more pick up a gun to go kill somebody in a foreign land than they would piss up a rope. Now, they may pick up a gun to defend their own homeland if such a thing would occur, but the message of Christ is somebody smite thee on the cheek, turn the other cheek, and yada, 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 yada. Love your enemy as yourself. So, to me, anyone who picks up a weapon and goes to fight in somebody else's country is no more of a Christian than they are a tree stump. They are a hypocrite, they are a liar, and if they have constructed in their own consciousness a particular kind of hell, that's where they are going to spend eternity burning and to a crisp. And that's my feeling about it. David, I've got to move on. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Now, Bush, well, this kind of relates to Bush. This 30-hour debate, which the Republicans have now extended for some extra time on Bush's four judicial nominees that the Democrats have said, no, we're not going to accept these four. The Democrats have confirmed 168 of the 172 right-wing neo-Nazis that this administration has put out there. How many of Clinton's were denied? 60. The Republicans held up 60 when they controlled the House. 60 and the Senate. 60. 60. They refused to allow even committee votes. Now, this is kind of building on what David said. The hypocrisy here is just so thick. But then that's what Republicans are about. They are liars, are cheats, they are killers, they are destroyers of America, they are anti-American, they are unpatriotic, they are Nazis. Every damned one of them is a filthy little brown shirt Nazi. Orrin Hatch is a Nazi. Jim Inhofe is a Nazi. Cheney, every one of them. They are just brown-shirted, swastika-wearing, goose-stepping, Christ-killing Nazis. That's what they are. And besides that, they're whiners. They're just little bitches, just little whining little bitches, like a prison bitch. And they are just, they're whiners. Okay, have I made the point? I think I have. All right. Now, when this thing started last night, when did it start? 6 o'clock, whatever. After Republicans walked into the Senate chamber together to begin this session, Democrats argued that all these Republicans walking in was not a show of unity. It was a television stunt orchestrated for Fox News. There was a memo from Manuel Miranda, a staffer for Bill Frist, Senate Majority Leader, which said, quote, "It is important to double efforts to get your boss to S230 on time." That's, I guess that's the room where this happened. Fox News Channel is really excited about this marathon, and Britt Hume at 6 would love to open with all our 51 senators walking onto the floor. The producer wants to know, will we walk in exactly at 6:02 when the show starts so they can get it live to open Britt Hume's show? Or if not, can we give them an exact time for the walk-in start? These little bastards. Fox News Channel. This is like the TASS news agency in the old Soviet Union. Fox News ought to be closed down. It ought to be it ought to be run out of the country. It ought to be shut down, shuttered, darkened, and never again pollute the airwaves with this crap. God, these people are vile. Democrats had put a sign out that the Republicans wanted removed and had it removed. The sign said, and the sign said, where is it? Republican sign of the first. The sign that indicated the Democrats have so far this year confirmed 168 of this dumb bastard's judicial nominees and have only blocked four of them. Now, the Republicans said, get the sign out of there. Democrats initially ignored the request, but they later complied as only the senator currently speaking on the floor is allowed to display any signs. Can you believe that? Bill Frist called the Democratic maneuver of filibustering these judicial nominees dangerous new ground. That's how stupid this Tennessee hick hillbilly Bill Frist is. Why doesn't he go back and have his family rip off more poor people with their scummy, filthy, corrupt HMO scams, huh? Why do Bill Frist, a filibuster is dangerous new ground? Well, you dumb freak. Filibuster has been around since the Congress has been around. But that's all right. And then this out-of-control, freaked-out Mormon Orrin Hatch added that Democrats are treating Bush, quote, in a ridiculous and unconstitutional fashion. While you jerkwater, what do you mean unconstitutional? What do you mean unconstitutional? Hatch said that, quote, hardly anything on the Senate agenda is more important than the president's right to nominate judges. Oh, really? Is that true? You smarmy little bastard. Boy, I'll tell you, some of these people, they make me sick just looking at them, especially Orrin Hatch. Mitch McConnell is another one. You know, I'm white, okay? I happen to be Caucasian. When I look at these white people with their little pinched-up lips and their little pinched-up eyes and their skin looks like something you'd find on the underside of a dead fish. It just, God, I want to go home and just turn Negro or something. I don't know. I want to go home and bronze myself. I don't want anything to do with these white people. God, they make me sick. I'm just freaking out here, Kathy. Do something. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, Mitch McConnell, he's got the kind of face that when you saw that face in the sixth grade, you just would walk over and punch it out. You know what I'm saying? Just that little snotty, pouty, little white face. Oh, God, oh! And Orrin Hatch is another one. I'm just on a tear tonight. There's something about white people that just, I don't know, man. It's so I'm only predominantly white because I'm Italian. All right. Hypocrisy abounds, as we all know. Now these Republicans, they don't like majority rule. They love the Electoral College when it allowed Bush to claim the presidency without receiving a majority of the popular vote. But they don't like the idea. They don't like the Senate filibuster rule, which allows less than a majority to stall a vote. Less than a majority of the American people voted for this little piglet George Bush, but he's president. Oh, that's fine. That's fine. Well, Mike, now, come on. We've got the Electoral College. So led by this pasty-faced desert-dwelling Mormon, this Orrin Hatch, Republican senators are throwing a 30-hour temper tantrum, wailing like spoiled little wet-diapered children because they can't have their way all the time. Yeah, we want all 172 confirmed, and you only did 168. And when they were in control, when Clinton was president, 60 judicial nominees, all of whom were centrist, were denied even a committee vote, much less a vote in the United States Senate for confirmation. These people are disgusting. They're just disgusting. Now, Bush, today, having a little snitty fit over his judicial nominees. There he was with three of them. Carolyn Kuhl, Janice Brown, and Priscilla Owen. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for all three of these people. I don't care if they're female, black, white, green. I don't give a damn. Priscilla Owen is from Texas. She's a Supreme Court justice down there. She was criticized by her court colleagues, people on the Supreme Court, for letting her personal anti-abortion views go beyond the letter of the law that she was asked to enforce. Carolyn Kuhl, who was nominated for the Ninth Circuit, she supported tax-exempt status for Bob Jones University while it was still segregated. You pig! You pig! Don't you understand the United States of America? And then this Janet Rogers Brown, who said she's not sure the Bill of Rights should ever have been applied to the states. Can you believe this? Now, Republicans are calling Democrats opposed to Ms. Brown, who is African-American, racist. The truth is, she's opposed by civil rights organizations across the country, including the NAACP. But when they opposed this jackass Estrada, then the Democrats were accused of being anti-Latino, anti-Hispanic. Now they're accused of being racist. Racist! Because this freak Brown says she's not sure the Bill of Rights should ever have been applied to the states. Well, if they hadn't been, Miss Brown, your ass would still be riding the back of the bunch bus. You wouldn't have been educated, and you'd been eating at some chicken shack someplace and not in a restaurant where decent white people go. How does that feel? God, what happens to these people that they go so insane? So Bush is standing there today with all three of these women, and he had a couple of things to say, and we'll share with you what he had to say when we come back.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If he's got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If he's got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Show. NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, Truth Seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush. Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy, sympathy. You know what I'm talking about.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Join us again tomorrow.
Oh, no, not yet, baby. All right, so you know, the Republicans are peeing all over themselves because the Democrats have only confirmed 168 of the 172 judicial nominations. When Clinton sent nominees up, 60 of them were refused by the Republicans. The Republicans wouldn't even allow a committee vote, much less a vote in the full House or the full Senate. Now, what about these nominees? There was also this freak over in Alabama, Attorney General there, William Pryor, who has opposed civil rights, has opposed women's rights, has opposed federal environmental protections, right? Isn't that so typically? Nominate a white man from Alabama who is opposed to civil rights. Nominate a black woman from California who says that the Bill of Rights should not apply to the states. These people are racist. I don't care what color their skin is. These are Nazis. These are people who will send as many of us as they can into the death camps, into the gas chambers, and then the ovens. Trust me on that, truth seeker. And they'll start with the queers, and they'll work their way up through the Catholics. Lakes or down or whatever direction, then they'll get people like this black judge who wants to be, what's her name, Janice Brown. They'll get her eventually too, you see. Charles Pickering, this is another white man from Mississippi who mounted this unusual campaign to get a reduced sentence for one of the defendants in a cross-burning conviction. And he did it without notifying the lawyers on both sides. Oh, well, they burned a cross out there on the lawn of a nigger. Well, hell, that's just a little intimidation. What? The little 5-year-old nigger came out and had a nervous breakdown? Well, that's just too damn bad, isn't it? That's the kind of people that the Democrats, the pink tutu Democrats, are trying to fight against. You know, let's give these poor, beset-upon Democrats credit when credit is due. They're trying to stop this as best they can. Of the 168 they've confirmed, God knows how many of them were thugs and killers and racists and pigs. But on these particular four, they've said, no, we're not going to confirm these particular four. We're not going to do it. And Pickering has backed out, and this jackass Pryor from Alabama has backed out. And so we got Carolyn Cool, Janice Brown, and Priscilla Owen. She hasn't backed out yet. And another white male. Who's the other one, Kathy? Who's this other freak? It just, you know, when I look into the faces of these little pasty-ass white people like Rick Santorum and Orrin Hatch and Mitch McConnell, I swear before anything I consider holy, it embarrasses me to be a Caucasian. I just want to cringe. I want to crawl under a rock. I can't face people of color. Especially black folk here in the South. How in the hell can a white person who supports this nonsense even approach an African American, a Hispanic American, anybody of color? You can't. Unless you're just a full-blown, Christ-killing, backwater, Republican, snotty-ass hypocrite. Nominating and supporting people like this, for God's sake. This is 2003. Martin Luther King was assassinated over this stuff. But here we are. This is what the Republican Party's about. You can just see them, can't you? Hey, go find me a Negro. And if you can, find me a Negro woman who hates civil rights. And then let's see the Democrats lobby against her. We'll get them for being a racist. We'll get them for being sexist. God, I hate these people. I've already said that. All right. As soon as we come back, I've got two sound bites for you. Bush with these three female judicial nominees who would make great horrors for Hitler.
High places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
International action to phase out an ozone-eating chemical is showing signs of success. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. A chemical that has caused problems in the Earth's protective ozone layer started to fade away during the past 5 years. The chemical is bromine, and the first report on its decline was published last August in a scientific journal. The decline of ozone-eating compounds is always good news. Ozone in the stratosphere protects us against harmful ultraviolet radiation from the sun. The ozone layer was depleted by some chemicals that were once commonly used, but an international treaty is phasing out the production and use of those compounds. The most common ones were CFCs, and they were widely used in air conditioners. The problem with them had to do with the chlorine that's part of their chemical structure. The compounds that include bromine were never used as widely as CFCs, but when it comes to destroying ozone, bromine is 50 times more destructive than chlorine. That means any decline in bromine is significant. Steve Monska is a research chemist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and he helped write the bromine report. Monska says the phase-out of bromine compounds started in the late 1990s, a few years after similar restrictions were imposed on CFCs. He says both actions have worked.
Just to be able to say, based on our measurements, the bromine's no longer going up, and to be able to say that the behavior of people has changed enough to allow this to happen, we now see bromine going down, is important. These results mean that there's less bromine and chlorine now entering the stratosphere, and it's been that way for a number of years.
The biggest drop in bromine is due to restrictions on a gas called methyl bromide. It's used to fumigate some food products and farmland. Most of those uses will be phased out in 3 years. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
Yet we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's good day. On the IE America Radio Network.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
Boy, I'm just on a tear tonight, huh? Well, I'll tell you what, at the intersection of race and religion and hypocrisy, you will find me with hand grenades, with the pins pulled out, And the damn thing's ready to go off. I just hate it. I just hate it. I hate it. Hypocrisy, race, and religion, to me, the intersection of those three, and they come together so much, especially here in the South, over the rest of the country, too. But, oh, man. And, I am so serious about looking in sometimes in the face of Caucasians and just getting sick. And if you're Caucasian, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about, okay? All right, let's get these Too Stupid to Be President. There he stands today with Carolyn Kuhl, Janice Brown, and Priscilla Owen, three of these neo-Nazi right-wing judges that the Democrats so far have managed to keep off the federal bench, even though Bush and Orrin Hatch, this guy who thinks a Reverend Sun Myung Moon is just a great American. Yeah. Orrin Hatch, who's a Mormon, and the Reverend Moon says he's the latest incarnation of Christ. These people are sick. God, they're sick. So here he is, George Bush, having a hissy fit over his judicial nominees.
Carolyn Kuhl, Janice Brown, Priscilla Owen. I really represent the best of America. Superb, superb women.
Yeah.
And yet, these three women are being denied a chance to serve on the bench because of ugly politics in the United States Senate.
Yeah.
I have told these three ladies I will stand with them until the bitter end because they're the absolute right pick for their respective positions. And the senators who are playing politics with their nominations are acting shamefully.
Oh, go shameful yourself, you freak. Oh, my God.
These three women are being denied a chance to serve on the bench.
No, they're not. They're all three judges
because of ugly politics in the United States Senate. I've told these three ladies I'll stand with them.
You wouldn't know those three women, Bush, if they walked up to you and bit you on your ass. You have no idea who they are. Karl Rove shoved them out there in front of you this morning, and you made your little statements. Now he tries to answer a few reporters' questions. This reporter asked, Mr. President, the Democrats say they have confirmed 98% of your judges, and by focusing on the few that they are opposing, that you're picking essentially an unfair fight.
Well, our circuit courts remain, in some cases, dangerously vacant. And here are three cases where people are being treated unfairly. My question is, why won't they give these three ladies an up or down vote? Where's the justice? Well, these are eminently qualified people. These are three women who represent the best of American jurisprudence. And why won't they let them come to the floor? If they're so fair, bring them up to a vote today.
Now, either you've got to believe one of two things. There are only two possibilities here. Either it's what I said. George Bush does not know these people from three cleaning women walking down the halls of the White House. A or B. He is such a racist, thuggish, anti-black, anti-woman pig himself that he does support them. He does support the racism of Miss Brown. He does support the anti-feminism of Miss Owen. He does support the belief by Miss Brown that the first 10 amendments of the U.S. Constitution should not apply to the states. Hypocrisy. Just hypocrisy. Just filthy hypocrisy. And these people wonder why black folk in this country look at George Bush and either say, screw you, and don't even go vote, because usually the white guy isn't that much better, or the Democrat isn't that much better, or they flee the Republican Party by a 9-to-1 ratio.
Yeah, we want to get the black vote. Yeah, we want to include the African American.
You know, black folk look at this. You know, we whites are stupid because we don't know what's going on behind the curtain here. We're like Bush in this regard. We really are. White Americans are exceedingly ignorant about race in this country. Black folk aren't, and that's a fact. So black people look at these nominations and they go, "Mm-hmm. Uh-huh." And what do we do?
Well, I don't know, Mike. Do you think we should oppose a black woman? I mean, you know, civil rights and all.
And Karl Rove knows that's what a lot of white people will do. All right, moving along. The Bush administration is announcing plans to accelerate the transition in Iraq from the American Selected Governing Council to greater independent Iraqi authority. How about that? That's why Bremer came with his, you know, his knees a-knocking and his depends on the other day, running into the White House. What do I do, George? Oh, sit down, George, not you. What do I do, Dick? What do I do, Carl? Everything's going to hell over here. So now they're talking about a transition to an Iraqi government as early as next summer. Gee, that's so nice, isn't it? The dictatorial Americans are saying to the Iraqis, well, you know, you're killing too many of us. We got to get out of here. We don't have an exit strategy. So I'll tell you what, let's speed it up. I know a lot of people in this government have been saying years we're going to be here. Let's try to get out of here in a couple of months, okay? Can you guys handle it? Here's Bush on the chaos in Iraq. Reporter says, Mr. President, could you tell us your ideas about what you'd like to see, like the speed up of the transfer of power in Iraq? Are you interested in setting up, for example, an interim government before a constitution is written? Huh, Mr. Bush?
What I'm interested in doing is working with Ambassador Bremer and the Governing Council to work on a plan that will encourage the Iraqis to assume more responsibility.
In other words, I don't know what you're talking about.
Ambassador Bremer sat right here yesterday and talked to me about the Iraqis' desire to be more involved in the governance of their country.
What? The Iraqis' desire to be more involved in the governance of the country? What are you saying, George? You mean they don't like an occupying army rolling tanks down their streets and killing their families and molesting their women? Oh, they call it a pat-down search, but in their culture you don't do that. Gee, George, some people can be so ungrateful for the freedom we're giving them, right? Oh, my God. So what are Bush's plans to stop Iraqi citizens from joining the resistance? The reporter says, Mr. Bush, what are you prepared to do about the fact, and how worried are you about the fact, that ordinary Iraqis appear to be more irritated, isn't that a cute word, with the presence of U.S. troops and more supportive of Iraqi insurgents? What are you going to do about it?
One, we've got a good strategy to deal with these killers.
Which is what?
Two, I believe by far the vast majority of Iraqis do understand the stakes and do want their children to grow up in a peaceful environment and do want their children going to a school and do want to be able to live a free life that is prosperous. That's what I believe. I'm confident we'll prevail in the long run, and I'm confident we're doing good work right now. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. They want their children to grow up in a peaceful environment. Yeah, that's why they want us to stop bombing them and leave, you moron. Now, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's real quick here check in on these Iraqi children, the teenagers he just talked about. This is from the Reuters news agency. Here we go. If Washington doubts there is Iraqi public support for guerrillas killing American troops, then Washington should consider the teenagers who happily watched American blood spill yesterday. After a roadside bomb ripped through a military vehicle and wounded two soldiers, Iraqi boys rushed out of their homes to survey the damage. Ali Kais, who is 15, said, "This is good. If they ask me, I will join the resistance. The Americans have to die. They are just here to steal our oil." The U.S. administration has long dismissed the guerrillas as isolated terrorists who are Saddam Hussein loyalists or foreign Islamic militants. But the scene in the Sarafia district of Baghdad suggests they are winning the sympathy of Iraqis, whose joy at Saddam's fall has been overshadowed by anti-American rage. Teenage boys were irritated to hear that two American soldiers were just wounded, not killed. Abdullah Oman, who's 18, said, "I saw them pushing their hands into one of the Americans' chest. They must have died. One soldier's friend was crying. Surely they're dead." His fury has been fueled by what he says, this teenager says, an American desire to humiliate all Iraqis. He believes that U.S. troops plant the bombs themselves, risking American lives to terrify and kill Iraqis. He says, quote, they are watching us die and laughing. They humiliate us. They handcuffed me and arrested me in front of my parents late one night because I stood on my house porch after curfew. A new CIA report on Iraq warns of growing popular support for insurgents combating U.S. occupation forces and says efforts to rebuild the country could collapse without immediate corrective action. Guerrillas in Iraq have killed 155 American soldiers since Bush declared combat over on May 1st. In the months after the war, Iraqis voiced frustration with the American failure to crack down on looters and restore basic services that the Americans had destroyed. Now talk has turned increasingly violent, especially among teenagers. They have watched American soldiers arrest their fathers and body search their mothers during intrusive raids into their homes. Iraqis are angrier, and guerrillas are carrying out more spectacular attacks, such as suicide bombings and mortar strikes on the main U.S. compound in Saddam's former palace. Shortly after Wednesday's bombing, teenagers in Sarafia picked up leaflets from a group calling itself the Army of Mohammed. The leaflet said, "Patience, patience, Baghdad. The occupation army will be destroyed." Ali Ahmad, who's 10 years old, had one of the flyers in his hand. He watched as a U.S. soldier poured water and sand over the pools of blood from his comrades. Ali Ahmad, age 10, said, "I want to join these Iraqi fighters. I want to hit the Americans, the infidels." But according to this fake that we have in the White House, the Iraqis love us. They love what's going on. They love having their children back in school. They love this and they love that, and they're just happy. They're just happy. They're like 150 years ago on the plantations in the South. They're happy. They like working in the sun, chopping cotton, boss. They like it. And the Iraqis like having Americans there because Saddam was such a bastard, don't you know? He gassed his own people. And now you have 10-year-olds and 12-year-olds and 15-year-olds. For those of you who served in Vietnam, you know what this sounds like, don't you? Of course you do. Of course you do. They hate us. General John Abizad, press briefing from Baghdad. Reporter says, "General, you speak of these stability operations. I think Iron Hammer is the current title of the operation. How do you get tougher and avoid driving people further into the arms of the dissidents? How does that balance get affected, General?"
There is a great balance that must be applied in military operations in Iraq. I mean, clearly, we must attack and destroy the enemy where we find them.
Those are Iraqi citizens.
And on the other hand, we have to be very, very mindful that the vast majority of the Iraqi population is thankful to have coalition forces there,
uh-huh,
and is looking forward to a better future.
When we're gone.
Clearly, we must have military operations that balance both the need to conduct very stringent and tough activities against the enemy, and at the same time, be compassionate and protective of the innocent people in the areas in which we operate.
But that's not what's going on, General, and you know it. And as you stand there with your phony-ass teleconference, press conference, you know you're lying, don't you? Now, a very interesting response to this reporter's question. The question is, the CIA general has issued a report this week that says there's an increasing number of Iraqis who believe the U.S. military can be defeated and are therefore throwing their support now behind these insurgents. In light of this, the White House is calling for an accelerated handover of Iraq to its own leaders. How can you balance that with the uncertainties and the contingencies?
Acceleration of the security forces means that we believe very strongly that we want Iraqis to be in charge of the security apparatus of Iraq. And it's very clear that we need to do this in a manner that gets a lot of Iraqis into that business quickly, because being able to have Iraqi police on the streets instead of American tanks and American infantrymen is exactly the way to go. People in Tampa wouldn't want to have American tanks in their streets any more than the people in Baghdad want to.
Oh, well, that's a brilliant statement. And this guy has 4 stars on his collar. Unbelievable. The CIA says we could lose this entire situation. The CIA says now, their assessment is that the insurgents' strength in that city, in that country, is now at 50,000.
It wasn't all that long ago that we started military operations. We've been there, what, how many days? You're counting the days since we've been there, because I'm not.
Why are we all fighting? Oh, why do we keep on lighting these fires, these bombs? We don't know what's gone wrong. Forgetting where we've come from and all of this.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay. There.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth!
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that!
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the Yellow Pages. And you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network. Hi, this is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the Legal Huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court, Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
Oh, man, do I feel exhausted tonight. I just got too carried away. Jerry is calling from Sparks, Nevada. He's been holding on for an hour and 10 minutes. Jerry, I appreciate your patience. I stand in awe of your patience. Your ear must be very sweaty.
Well, this has been really good. I burned your show to CD and take it to work with me. And last night... I had a problem with the file, so I missed you last night at work. It was a long night.
Well, I'm sorry for leaving you on hold all this time.
It's okay. It was fun listening. Hey, about 12 years ago, I heard Rush Limbaugh yakking on the radio about he was trying to tell some story about how people had access to their senators and their congressmen.
Yeah.
He was trying to turn down the idea of campaign finance reform.
Mm-hmm.
And he reminisced about how he remembered as a lad how he went with his family when they visited their senator concerning some, quote, consumption problem that his brother had, unquote. Now, why would you go see your senator if your brother has TB?
Well, maybe it was a different kind of consumption.
All righty. Thanks, Mike.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. Consumption. No, it wasn't TB. Oh, speaking of the pig man, I understand. What is the news flash that's going around the globe at the speed of light, Kathy? He's going to be back on the air Monday. Have you noticed the air has been lighter? We've had no pollution alerts here in Atlanta all week. Beautiful, clear, sunshiny days, crystal clear nights. It's going down to what tonight? 28 degrees tonight? 30 degrees tonight? Come Monday, the pig will be back spewing his garbage into the air again on 600 radio stations. There goes air quality. It's been so nice, hasn't it? Not that I listen to him, but I've noticed, I don't know, there's just a difference in the country. Yeah. People are what?
People are smiling more.
Since the pig man's been gone?
Dogs are playing in the street.
Yeah.
Happy children doing happy things.
Well, it's all going to end on Monday, right? Now, that's going to be the assignment for some of our listeners who have much greater intestinal fortitude than I, and listeners who have a high tolerance and a lower gag reflex than I. It's going to be to listen to the Pig Man on Monday and let us know what happened. Program engineered tonight in Detroit by Charlotte Jones, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces. Mark Marshall is a webmaster at MikeBeloy.com. Check it out. And we have a whole group of militant mods there who keep things flowing. Say hi to them. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Thanks a lot for joining us tonight. I'll see you tomorrow, I hope. I really hope. Take care. 'Cause you know
tell you. No more lies, no more lies.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy show. This is